Hello, if this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, Crucify for Christ Ministry, I just want to say you're not here by accident. You're here because God has directed you to this website. And on this website, if you're new to it, there's basic, it's a very basic website, nothing really fancy. Sermons, some Bible studies, I'm working on a few more. And a few Bible devotions I post throughout the week. I didn't post no devotionals last week. Doing a lot of reflection and a lot of prayer on the ministry and then this website. And but all of this is free. Check all this out if you want. Listen, read, grow in Christ. That's what my desire is for those that come across this, is to grow in Christ, to be more like Christ and less like ourselves, to seek that crucified life that is truly not being preached within the churches in America, is to live a life separate from this world. And my prayer is for you to seek in God's word, which truly says, not in man's thoughts, not a man's opinion, but what God's word says. We should always be pointing to scripture, always, because scripture is most important. It's one of those things. I love scripture. I study it. I memorize it. I devour it. We should be men and women that seek scripture, that seeks God's word, and we meditate it in God's word day and night. So if you're new, welcome. Of course, we are in the new year, and of course, happy new year. 2024, 6 days in. So happy new year. This week, we'll be in James 4. That's James 4, 13. We'll be looking at verse 13 through 17, along with several other passages, scriptures in line with this passage. As a composer writes a symphony, so does a man of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, compose a sermon. And we are just humble vessels that the Holy Spirit uses to write sermons, to preach sermons. It's all God. He gets the glory, he gets the honor, he gets the praise. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, or you can, if you have an awesome memory, memorize it. The centerpiece, the thrust of this sermon message is centering on this one question. If today was your last day, what would you be remembered for? If today was your last day on this earth, what would you be remembered for? That is the thrust. That's the, and the goal of this sermon is to point you to the right answer to that question. And we will start out here in James 4, 13 to 17. This is our main scripture, which other scriptures will come off of this. But James 4, 13 through 17 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But what now? Ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him know to do good and do it not, to him is a sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this message, guide and direct as you see fit. This message will reach whoever you want it to reach to. I am just a humble vessel, Lord. Lord, move as you see fit. God, we pray for those that that come across this sermon. I don't know who will hear it, who will receive it, but you do. But I don't know their circumstances. I don't know where they're at in their life. But God, we lift them up to you. Lord, we pray over whatever may be going on in their life. Maybe they're facing some form of challenge in their lives, like sickness, financial. Maybe they're suffering some mental breakdown. Maybe the depression and the anxiety has gripped their life, have wrapped around them the chains and dragging them into this abyss of desperation. God, we pray over their lives right now. We pray over that darkness around them. We know the glorious light of the gospel can break those chains. It broke those chains in my life. The depression, the anxiety, the hopelessness. I've seen God's hand in my life and how he has shaped me, molded me, even broken me to do his will. God, we pray over their life. God, we pray over what they're going through. And we pray, Lord, that we point them to the light of the gospel that can break all of that despair. God, we pray for those that may be financially struggling. There's a lot that are struggling financially, God. This economy's crazy. The inflation's outrageous. A lot of us struggle every day with that burden, week by week, living off our paycheck. It's easy to fixate on that. But we have to understand, in this life we will have struggles. We will have challenges. It will be rough. But in the end, when life's said and done, if we are his, one day we'll never have to worry about living the paycheck to paycheck. We don't have to worry about all the stress that this life can bring us, because it will be all over. And I pray that everybody's here that hears this message, that they seek God truly through his word, and to understand what it truly means to be a child of God, to be a servant of the Most High, and then realize this life is only temporary. A puff of vapor, a drop in the bucket, a drop of water in the sea of eternity. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I know, my friend, this sermon may not make you very comfortable, and this sermon may not even cause you not to want to listen to the rest of what God has placed in my heart, this humble man of God, to proclaim to you. The Holy Spirit moves as he does on men and men of God. I am compelled as a man of God to preach with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, the message that God has given me. This message may not pack a church or get a million hits on Facebook or whatever social media platform you choose to use. But I promise you, the hosts of angels, millions upon billions, and God himself is listening, and that's enough for me, amen. As I've always said at the start of this ministry, if only one person's life is changed by a message that God has given me, just one person, I could preach 100 upon hundreds, even possibly for us all said and done, thousands upon thousands of sermons on this website. If only one person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, guess what? It is all worth it. But this question I want to present to you today, and I pray that this question is not just a question that you just hear and let go of, but this is a question that penetrates your heart, soul, and mind. And you cannot let go of it until you petition the heavens for an answer. Oh, how many sermons and Bible studies have we attended, but we just let go and cannot even remember what the message or the heart of the Bible study was about. Just think about your last sermon that you listened to or the Bible study that you attend. Ask yourself, what was the heart of the message? What was the heart of the study? And I'm not saying this to make you mad at me. I'm just saying this for a realization that when we go into a message or a Bible study, we are there to learn, to grow in Christ. That's what I do when I listen to a sermon, when I listen to a Bible study, when I'm doing my private studying, and even when I am writing a sermon that the Holy Spirit is just pouring out of me. I'm seeking His heart. I'm seeking to grow deeper in my relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that's what you're doing. I know there are many churches out there today that are not truly feeding their congregation, but more entertaining their congregation. See, we're supposed to let God's word change us, right? To mold us, to grow us, not just for today is the entertainment purpose of it. And I will tell you, going and learning about God and growing God, that's more than sitting in a movie theater seeking an hour or two of mindless entertainment. I am a man or a woman, or I'll say I am a man, but we are supposed to be men and women. That's what I'm trying to get at. That is seeking transformation of our heart and our life. We're seeking a fire of the Holy Spirit to ignite us to reach out to those that God has placed in our life. Those that are lost and they need Jesus Christ, the only hope, the joy that's supposed to be in our life, invading our life, the hope of our salvation, right? And I pray that you are truly His and you understand the hope and the joy that's within knowing that we are His. And thank God for that. We should be seeking Jesus Christ more than anything, seeking to be more like Him, seeking to grow to be more like Christ every day, more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And see, when we start getting this mindset, we start centering, right? We start centering on Christ. And when we center on Christ, we start understanding, or we start getting a feel of this question that I am presenting to you, to us today. That question is, if today was your last day, what will you be remembered for? Now, when we look at James here, what we can find out about what James is confronting, what is James? Who's the target group he is presenting this message to? Now, in verse 13 says, it gives us a little clue into this. It says, James says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. This group, these people, James is ministering to, to now, and to us now, right? Because we're reading this letter. Those that have preached on this letter, have taught on this letter. James, a half-brother of Jesus Christ, a minister of the early church of Jerusalem, is pointing to a fundamental problem then, and that problem is same today. And one could even argue it's probably even worse. That one word is busy. Living in the country as a child, I love to stay out in the woods. Drove my parents absolutely crazy. But there was a calmness in being in the woods. But I would watch these these animals or bugs or insects, and especially I would look at ants. Among other animals that I could observe while I'm out there. But I want to draw your attention to ants. If you're just looking at ants, right? Ants stay busy. Now, I know these insects, these bugs, they lack the mental capacity as you and me. But if I think of an ant or ants, I think are busy. Even we've heard these phrases used. Busy as a bee, we can say as busy as an ant. They're just as busy as bees. They don't really care about what's going on around them unless they get affected. If you're going around and you kick an ant mount, what happens? Ants go everywhere, right? If they get on you, they crawl up your leg, your arm, and they bite you. That's because that is their defense mechanism. They're having their life turned upside down. They're in their little mount, and you just kicked them, and you just caused chaos, right? If we think about what we have in common with these ants, we could say we're just as busy as they are, probably even more. Now, in the ants' defense, the way God has made them is to stay or be busy. Their business act is as a function in their survival, so their business is important. It aids in their survival if no one interferes with them. We can say their business is good business, right? Of course, on the flip coin, there is a bad business. In verse 13, really, when we look at those people, James is looking at, James is ministering to, were they exhibiting a good business as ants? Was there a healthy and productive busyness going on? From their perspective, they probably believe it is very productive, very healthy. They were going about, they were buying, they were selling, they were getting gain. We could even say they were just living their life as we see many today. So preoccupied with the things of this life, the material things that we can gain in this life. But one thing we could say when we're looking at ants and these individuals, we know ants, if you study ants, and I have a little bit because I'm just a nerd, they work together. They're like bees, they work together, and they benefit one another. We can say that each ant is important, as they know as much as one could understand insects, right? The importance of each member of that ant mount and that colony. They work in togetherness and unity. We could even say, we could use this word, they are not being, although they can't really understand because they're insects, being self-centered. Self-centered is a very important word. It's a word that we can put to those that James is ministering today very easily. They're wrapped. Their minds are wrapped in the affairs of this life. And we can all be guilty, right? You and I, of being self-centered. And it's about me, I, and myself, right? Now, this may not preach well in today's society here in America, where the vast majority of the sermons and messages about being all about ourselves and how God can bless our life. And I know the sermons and messages like this will not sell. But these are the messages and sermons that we need to be preaching to those. Why? Because we need to build a foundation. A solid foundation is what we need. I believe when we look at the denominations, and there is a serious fractal crack in foundation. In foundation teaching and foundation preaching. Now, I'm not sitting here and being critical or judgmental. I love the church. I pray over the church. I mourn and cry over the lukewarmness I see. Breaks my heart to see this happening all around me. And now through social media, you can follow any ministry pretty much. And when you reach out there and look out in this world, what falls for true Christianity is really not. There's a fundamental crack in our churches. They're not preaching truly the gospel. They're preaching a version of the gospel. They're not teaching the true basics of the Christian faith. They're not teaching how our life is no longer ours when we come to Jesus Christ. He gets the center stage, not us. And this goes contrary to our flesh, right? Because our flesh wants to take what? Center stage. We won't. It's easy to be self-centered. Easy. The flesh can walk in that path very easily. Through the help of the Holy Spirit and disciplining of our flesh, the crucifying of our flesh daily, we pull away from the self-centeredness of this life. And when we pull away from the self-centered life, we start placing our life where it belongs. We start giving God center stage. God, what is your will? What is your direction for this day that you need me to walk in? You see, when we start doing this, we start laying a foundation that becomes solid. Those that choose not to, the self-centeredness, guess what? When the storms in life come, when the ant mount is kicked, what happens? Desperation, right? Hopelessness, loss of our joy. Because why? We have centered on ourselves as our anchor, as our foundation. And I believe when we look at what's going on here, James would say the same thing to these individuals. Their foundation is not solid on that one rock. Jesus is our foundation. He is our rock. He is the anchor of our soul, as it says in Hebrews. We are start understanding this, that He is the anchor, right, of our soul. That He is the only one that can give us the hope, the joy, the peace within anything that we may encounter in this life. We start getting to understanding, if today was my last day, what would you be remembered for? What would I be remembered for? What would us, you know? Nothing matters other than understanding that Jesus Christ is the center of our life. The money that you may gain, the business that you may grow, the career that you may thrive in, the family that you may cultivate, unless God is first in your life, guess what? It does not matter. See, this group James is referring to is they are centered on themselves. They're centered on what they can do, their material gain that they can gain in this life. They are centered on that. That is their solid foundation. That is what they're seeking to be remembered for. Matthew 16:26 tells us, "For what is a man?" You just take that as, what if, for what is us, right? What if you and me, what can we profit if we shall gain, right, this whole world and lose our own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Here, Matthew records what Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus Christ used questions to get to reach those around him, as we should today. Using questions is very important because questions should help us to think, to reason. And he said, what if a man, what if you profit? And what if you shall gain this whole world, gain all of it, all the material things that you may gain in this life, all the nice things, the house, right? Nice home. The vehicles that you may gain, the money that you may attain. Gaining all this, what's the point if you lose your own soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? What is your price of your soul? These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached and taught hard messages. And guess what? They were not received very well. Just as James, this message wouldn't have been received well. Now, if you look at church history, and when we're looking at church history, we don't really know, but we look and we draw from some of the old church history. But when we look at James, here's a half-brother of Jesus Christ. Some would say that he was beaten to death. Some would say that he was stoned to death. Some even said, in some historical parts what I've looked at and read, is that he was brought up to the top of a temple and threw off the temple. That was like me taking you up to a tall building. I don't define what tall is, I guess. But, you know, 20, 30 feet maybe. Maybe taller, and throw you off of it. James was not popular. And of course, we know what they did to Jesus Christ, what we did to Jesus Christ. He was crucified because he didn't go, he went against the current and the flow of the cultural. He asked those tough questions, or questions, or penetrating questions, as here in Matthew 16:26. For what is the profit you if you gain the whole world? Get all the material things you want, you ever could think of, you can ever imagine, but you lose your own soul in this lifetime. See, all these things don't matter. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. All the other stuff can take a side step. You serve this world or you serve God. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will what? Hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. He wants your love. Your love. He wants your undivided love. He wants to be your first love, right? This world can take this back step, right? Because what he says in 1 John 2:15, listen, he says, not this world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man, and that could be woman, love the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. Not my opinion, God's word tells us. And I will go with God's word every time. I do not want this life to line up with Jonathan Ritter. I want this life to line up with God. I want my life to line up with His will, His way, His purpose, His desire. If I'm dirt poor on the side of the road preaching the gospel to my left breath leaves me and those driving by are mocking me, so be it. And I pray that you are the same way. We should desire God's word, His direction, our life more than anything else in this world. See, when we start doing this, we start peeling back this question. If today was my last day, right? What would I be remembered for? James continues in verse 14 through 17. Let's read these passages. Whereas ye know not shall be tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For what ye ought to say is the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoicing, you're boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him know to do good, do it not. To him is a sin. I love how James presents this question, for what is your life? And you can even ask your question, ask this to yourself, what is your life? James says it's nothing but a vapor, appears for a little time, then vanishes away. My friend, when we look at this life, and when I look at my life, life is short, is a vapor, is a mist, is a fog, is a blink, is a drop in the water of the ocean of eternity. Most of us have to have a work, a physical job. I work a physical job because why? I got bills to pay, right? Rent, electric, water, vehicle notes, grocery, right? And you can relate to that, and I can relate to that. But while we are doing this, we should not lose focus on God and eternity, right? We should not lose focus of eternity. When we start losing focus of eternity, we start losing our focus on the opportunities God has given us every day to reach out to someone with the gospel. Because what? Tomorrow is not promised. James is reaching out to those in his time to get this message out. And guess what? James is reaching out right now through the gospel, through this epistle to reach out to you and say, hey, if you're living like you got tomorrow, the reality is you may not have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. I love how he uses the word if. He says here in verse 15 through 17, for what ye ought to say is the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. He's giving them the answer here. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such as rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him know to do good and do it not to him is a sin. He uses that word if here, right? This is what you're supposed to say. If the Lord wills, we shall live. Because he was saying he is leaning on Jesus Christ here. His teachings. He's leaning on the Holy Spirit. We do not have tomorrow. We may not have tomorrow. Only if the Lord wills, we shall live. He holds to our tomorrow. Love that hymn. Love that hymn where he speaks of tomorrow. I can't really think of the hymn, but it just came through my mind. I was just thinking about it. Because he lived, that's it. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Oh, you know, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, but tomorrow may not come. But if tomorrow comes, it's because he lives, I can go through tomorrow, which would be today. Today is a blessing, my friend, and we're not promised tomorrow. If the Lord wills, if he grant us another day to rise from the bed or our sleeping areas, we should praise him in the morning and carry that all through the day until night for this opportunity to walk another day, to reach someone for the Lord, right? But this group is not doing this. James tells us, but now you're rejoicing, you're boasting as such as rejoicing is evil. They're rejoicing in what they're gaining. They're rejoicing in their self-centeredness. They're rejoicing in, look what we have done. That's what they're boasting in. They're rejoicing in themselves. They're praising themselves. We should only rejoice in the Lord. If we do not, this is evil. James tells us, therefore, to him that know to do good and do it not, to him is what is a sin. He's saying you hear the truth. If you reject the truth, then you are in sin. James tells us to stop this boasting. And we could take that and say, he was telling them, stop being self-centered. Stop seeking a life of material and physical gain. All this stuff in your eyes that you have allowed to take the place of Jesus Christ. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. Ask for his direction in your life. And to be about a good business, right? Spreading the gospel. Being busy for the Lord. But if you reject this, this is evil, James tells us. This is a sin. My friend, let me put it this way. All the material things that you may gain in this world, you're not taking with you. Any of them when you die. I never know who will be listening to this sermon, but I want to put it as the Lord has placed it on my heart. If you're wealthy and you got that nice house and nice vehicles or whatever, that fat bank account that you're flowing with money. If you die today, tonight, without knowing Jesus Christ, without knowing the one that truly loves you more than anything that you can gain in this world, your soul's damned. You're not taking all the wealth of this life when you die. The nice house, the nice vehicles. You're not taking none of that with you. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Listen to these words, my friend. Lay up for the treasures up on earth where moth lay not, right? Where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wow. Here Jesus is talking about the treasures of this earth, the material things, right? And the treasures of heaven, which are not material things. He says the stuff that you gain, you have a home. Maybe, guess what? Over time, that home will deteriorate. It will age. If you had it built really cheap, maybe they didn't use good lumber. And a lot of you guys know I work in maintenance. I do a lot of, I know about construction. You can use wood that termites can get into. And when termites get into the foundation, they eat away at it until there's nothing left. Things are falling apart. All the material things in your life, you have a car, guess what? Most of us know when you buy you a brand new car, 10 years from now, guess what? It's not the same. It is deteriorated. All of these things that we gain, that will, they will age and they will deteriorate. They're material. They're not important. We should do everything in the glory of God. So if God has blessed you with that home, that nice home, we should glory God in that, in the sense that have Bible studies within your home, right? Do fellowship within your home. Have cookings. Invite people from in the area into your home and give them a home-cooked meal. But give them the gospel, right? If you have a nice vehicle, take that and travel to do ministry or missions. Do all in the glory of God. We don't take these material things and let them have control over our life and boast on them. We don't let them have control. What we want to have control over our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has given those things to us as if we are truly children of God, to reach out to others. And if God has blessed us with ability to make gain money-wise, right? We don't hoard all that money to ourselves. What we do, we reach out. You may not be a preacher. You may not be an evangelist. You may not be a Bible teacher. But there's teachers like me and preachers. God hasn't blessed us with the sense of making money. He has blessed you with that. Now, I'm not saying give me money. I'm just saying there are ministries out there that could use your money, because God has blessed you with that. Instead of patting your bank account and making it full, if tomorrow was your last day and you passed away, you're not taking that with you. You leave that to your next of kin. If you do not have a next of kin, guess what? The bank seizes it. They own it now. Unless you have a will where you're pushing that money out somewhere. And I encourage you, if you don't have a next of kin, write your will to a ministry, that you reach out to somebody in a ministry that you can help out and fund the cause. Because why? Because when you are dead, that is the end in this life. You do not get second chances, my friend. You do not. Just think about this. Ponder this. Way before I was born, and way before many other was born, those that were rich or wealthy in the 1700s or the 1800s. Can you name their names? Most of us can't even tell you the wealthy persons living in the 1700s or 1800s. Now, I can tell you of preachers, because I study, love reading like Spurgeon and John Wesley and these guys, a bunch of others. I love reading their stuff. I could tell you them. But I couldn't tell you any. Well, and probably you can't either. They died a long time ago. Guess what? God knows their name or their names. He knew or knows if they were His or not. Right? Oh, I'll say He knows. And when they passed away, guess what? They went to heaven or hell, depending if they are truly His or not. And those that were truly His, they are truly wealthy now. And those that are not, are not. They are burning in hell. They are truly poor, miserable for eternity. They will be forever tormented 24/7. That breaks my heart, because I know someone reached out to that person and they rejected the gospel. You may say, why do you say that? Let me flip to the scripture, 2 Peter 3:9. It helps us. It says, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our Lord Jesus Christ will provide an opportunity. I don't know how that works, but he is true and he is faithful to those. He does not desire no one to perish, to go to hell. In this digital age, right, the opportunity is great. Whoever thought that preaching on just this website, and when I send this message across multiple social websites, media websites, is it possible that a million or maybe a billion could hear this? That's a possibility, right? That this message could get to a million or a billion. Now, I don't know if it'll ever reach that, but I know it has the potential to. And God wills what he sees to the opportunity. And that's with anybody that's preaching the gospel through these social medias. True gospel reaching those. Although there's false gospel being preaching, and it seems like that reaches a whole lot greater than ours. But God wills that will reach those. I don't know how that works, but God will not. Everybody will have an opportunity to hear the salvation message. Most of the great preachers, I don't even compare myself in time past, like Paul, Peter, James, John, Timothy, Titus. They know of this time we are living in, that there's a message, a sermon, a message on this, a website like mine or any other can reach a million or even a billion. You see, my friend, when life is said and done, God is the only one truly keeping track. You see, my friend, when life is, and when this life is said and done, right, he is keeping track. When all is passed away, you're not taking your house, you're not taking your vehicle, you're not taking your career, put wherever you want material-wise in that. You're not taking that. For God knows who is his, right? John 10, he knows his sheep follow him. He knows if you're not his or not. He knows it, you are his or not. For us that are his true sheep, that is, this is more. There's more to this life, right? He has given us. This life is to glorify him, right? Because we follow him, right? We seek his direction. We seek his guidance. And guess what? He gives us a ministry. He gives us work. Now, work don't save us. Right? Ephesians 2:10, or Ephesians actually 2, you can read 8:9-10. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves, what is a gift from God, right? Not of works, lest we should boast. Works don't save us, but verse 10 tells us, we are given works, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. Because we are his, we seek his direction, the works that he has placed in our life. Praise his holy name for him to allow us to work in the ministry. Remember, no ministry is too small in the eyes of Jesus Christ. That one person I may come across at Walmart, whatever store that you may shop at, Sam's, Walgreens, CVS, list goes on and on, right? Lowe's, Home Depot. That one person, even though that one person that I'm shopping, I'm looking for opportunities, I keep tracks on me for that reason. Come across somebody and God has placed in my life, I take that as important as me sitting there in a church or on this website preaching to how many. That one person matters. To reach them out and tell them what Jesus done for me, what he has saved me from the grips of the enemy. A lot of you know my testimony, darkness, drugs, pornography. He reached in and he saved my life from ultimate temptation. And I am forever grateful to the very end. But we're created to walk in the ministry that he has given us, and no ministry is too small if God's in, if you're walking in his will, right? And when we walk in his will, our eyes are focusing on the opportunities. We're not focused on making a name for ourselves. We're not focused on gaining things in this world to make a name for ourselves. We're not focusing on the things of this life that makes most people boast and want to get this gain and this sell. No, we're not self-centered. We go beyond ourselves. If God blesses us with a home, we use that in the glory of God. If he blesses us with vehicles, we use that in the glory of God. If God blesses us with ability to make money, we do that in the name, in the glory of God. And we walk in the will that he has us to do. And when we start doing this, we start realizing that this life is only temporary. Tomorrow is not promised. And that's what James is doing. He's reaching out to them and saying, hey, your life could be over tomorrow. You're looking at the wrong things. What are you going to be remembered when you pass on to the next life? James would say, I hope you know Jesus Christ. If you just look through the whole book of James, you will see that his desire is for them to recognize the error of their ways. He's trying to rattle them. He's trying to shake them in a sense that he's trying to say, look at the error of your ways. What is tomorrow? What is this life? The only life that matters is eternal life. But God has given us the opportunity in this life to reach those with the gospel, to reach out to those that are in need. What we need to be remembered for is not the things that we can gain materially in this life, the treasures that we can harp, this material stuff that we can harp in this life. No, what God has given us to reach those. So, and when it's all said and done and we're looking at Jesus Christ, He already knows when we look at him what we have squandered, what we have, the missed opportunities that he has given us. He already knows. And he already knows that you were given, and I was given, opportunities to correct our miscomings, our mishaps. It's a growing process. If one opportunity is missed, guess what? Somebody will pick that opportunity up, because that's just how God operates. But when we miss those opportunities, and I'm not going to get deep into rewards here, but we will get rewards when we go to heaven. And how do we? And I'm not really going to touch too deep in this, but I want you to listen to Matthew 19, 27 to 30. That's Matthew 27 to 30. Then answered Peter, and he said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. Follow thee. What shall we have therefore? Here's Peter. He's speaking to Jesus. And Jesus says unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of the glory, he also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that have forsaken homes, houses, our brother, our sisters, our fathers, our mothers, our wives, our children, our lands, for my name's sake shall receive, and he said here, a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. God wants us to focus on what he has for us while we're here. He comes first priority in our life. And when we start doing that, we recognize we don't want to be remembered for ourselves, right? We're not seeking glory for ourselves. No, we are seeking those that will glorify for Jesus Christ. He has done something in our life. He has changed our life. He has transformed our life. And we put the glory on that, Him in the spotlight, and we seek those to do the same. If today was my last day, I pray, and I know I have reached into people's life, and they have seen the transformation of Jesus Christ in my life, and those will remember that from me. But the most important, they'll remember that it's not Jonathan Ritter, it's Jesus Christ. And I tell them, He gets the centerpiece. He gets the praise. Take that into your heart and reach out to others. When I'm dead and gone out of this life, I don't care if people remember my name. I don't care. I will be with my Father in heaven. The things that God has laid out for me to do was what He had me, and I did those. Amen. And His name lives on. In closing all this out, that question I want you to ponder in your heart today, for this week, for this year, the month's year. Today was your last day. What will you be remembered for? And I pray that everyone here at the sound of my voice, that you are truly His. You truly know my Father. This life is brief, right? It's so short. We get so distracted. Remember, I was speaking about the ants, right? There is this good busyness, and this is bad busyness. When we start getting busy with everything in this life, and we start glorifying everything in this life, and it's all about us, and we are self-centered, this is not a good busyness, my friend. This is bad. This is what James is looking at, and this is what James is calling out. And I'm calling out, if you're doing this right now, to stop that. Reflect on your life. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, man, I have a ton of salvation messages on this website. You can click on and listen. Knowing that you're saving, you're His. That's very important. But if you know this already, now look at your life and say, what am I doing? What ministry has God laid out for me? Remember, no ministry is too small. From your work to your family to encounters at your local marketplace, store, side of the road, at the gas station, walking back and forth to work. God has placed opportunities in our life to reach those. And I promise you, God is keeping track. He's watching. He's giving us opportunity. He wants us to grow in Him, right? He wants us to be busy for His work. Yes, we may have to work a 40-hour job. I work a 40-hour job. Within that 40-hour job, I seek opportunities to reach those with the gospel. I'm not boasting. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm telling you, during the week, I don't miss opportunities throughout the day to reach somebody for the gospel. No matter how busy I get with work, and sometimes it gets crazy, I am seeking His direction daily starts in the morning. Prayer. Humbling myself before God. And it continues throughout the day. I pray for His will to be done, not mine. I pray for His direction, not mine. Because I know that morning when I wake up, although I'm not much of a morning person, He has blessed that day. He has said, I'm giving you another day, my son, to reach out to those that have placed in your path. And I thank God for that. That's not me being boastful. That's not me being prideful. That's me being humbling myself before a holy and righteous God and saying, thank you for this opportunity. I don't deserve it, but thank you. One person matters, right? One person that you speak salvation into their life. You show them scripture. You may hand them a tract. You may hand them a Bible or some form of reading material that they can read later on and a topic they may be struggling with. That lives on, my friend. Now, accept it, reject it, that's on them. But God sees that opportunity that He has placed, and He is recording that. That opportunity don't save you. But because you're seeking that, you know that you're a child of God, because you could care less about all the things that you could gain in this life if it's not centered on Jesus. You'd rather just burn in the wind. Burn in the wind, my friend. If God ever blessed me with a nice home, I promise you, I will use it for the glory of God. He blessed me with more reliable vehicles. Glory to God. He blessed me with opportunity for financial gain, where I didn't have to work 40 hours a week and I could travel around and preach at other churches. You better believe I would jump on that. To reach out those in need that may be financially struggling, to reach out and help me, you better believe I'll be on that. Give me Jesus. When we start getting this perspective, we start taking our eyes off the things of this world, and we start placing our eyes on the one that holds our tomorrow. Let's pray, my friend. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray as we finish this out that this message, and I know it will reach whoever it may reach, but this burning question, that I pray that they ponder and they go back over the scriptures that you have laid out in my heart to speak on. Back over that, but this burning question. Today was my last day, our last day, your last day. If it was their last day, right? What would they be remembered for? God, I pray they reflect on this. I pray they reflect on James and these people here that were so focused, so self-centered in their life. Everything revolving around themselves. Me, myself. I-isms. That James was trying to reach them and say, hey, this life is not about you. What is life? What is life but mere vapor? A puff. A blink. A drop. In the bucket of eternity or the ocean of eternity. As I was talking, it's just thinking about those in the 17, 1800s that were wealthy. Most of us can't remember their names. One thing they all have in common, physical death, right? And when they died, they met Jesus Christ. And we pray that they were yours. That they truly love you with everything they had. Because if they did, their destination is beautiful, as ours will be if we focus our eyes on Jesus Christ and we keep pressing on. Because we're pressing on shows us that we are children of God. We press on because we love you with everything we got. We press on because we know tomorrow's not promised. And we do what we can in a day to reach those that are lost and perishing. And we know where our life is set and done, heaven is our destination. But we pray for those that have rejected the gospel. Their destination is hell. They've let their treasures build up where moth and rust will occur instead of the treasures of heaven. God, if they're alive right now, we pray for their souls. Lord, we pray that you reach in, you rattle them, you shake them, you shatter their life if you need to accept the gospel message. For they do, there's a transformation in their life that is so great and so wonderful. Realization of the gain of this material things in this life is nothing if they don't have Jesus Christ. And they reach out to others at that point to reach out in their times of need. Those neighbors down the road. Those ministries that need support. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Once again, you can reach out to me on Facebook. I don't even think I've said that at the very beginning. But Facebook, you can reach out to me. Have any questions, you can PM me to there. Of course, on this website, there is a you can email me through this website. If you do, just make sure you place Crucify for Ministries on there in the subject heading. So if it does go to spam, I'll be able to find it. Probably one of the best ways to reach out to me is PM me. Private message me through Facebook. If you have any questions, I can definitely answer them that way. Promise you I can. I'm not on Twitter or Instagram too much, but you can reach out to me those ways too. I pray that your year's going good. Once again, Happy New Year. Pray that you keep pressing on. I pray that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you go through this website, look at the salvation messages, or you find you a church that is sound, and well, pray first. Pray. Because God can reach you right where you're at. But if you're on this website, I really encourage you to check a salvation message. If you have any questions, please email me. Message me. I will promise you, when it comes to salvation, I take that very seriously. I care so much for your soul. I do not want to see nobody perish and go to hell. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day, night, weekend, or week.